want to explain a unusual part of this coming week's Sedra that I think I've explained here in the past in one or two different ways, offer a new explanation. In the middle of Seder Ba'aloscha, we find two sentences that are preceded with a backwards upside down nun and followed by a backwards upside down nun, almost like brackets. Those two sentences are familiar to you. They're the sentences of Vayehi bin Soa Ha'arom, Vayomer Moshe, Kumo Hashem, Viafutsu Oyevecha, Vianusu Misanecha Miponecha, and the Pasuk Uvenucha Yomar Shuva Hashem Rivvos Alta Yisrael. You can find them in the Siddur. One we say before we take out the Torah, and the other one we say when we put the Torah away. Those are the two sentences that are set aside by brackets. The obvious question is, why? So the rabbis explain a few different reasons. I mentioned two of them. Excuse me. One is that the Torah records there three sins that the Jewish people did. The first one was Vayisu Mehar Hashem. They traveled from the mountain of God, from Har Sinai, and the rabbis comment, Kitine Kaboreach Mibes HaSefer, like a child running away from school. They left Har Sinai with a sigh of relief. We've been here for a little under a year. We had 613 mitzvahs given to us. Let's get out of here. Who knows? We stay here any longer, there'll be more mitzvahs. So they ran away from Har Sinai like a child running away from school. We'll discuss what that means in a little while. That was the first sin. Then the next one the Torah records, Vayehi ha'am kimisonim rab oznei Hashem, that the people were complaining. They were traveling for 3 days straight, and they were complaining. Too hard. They were tired, hungry, thirsty. And the third sin, and they were punished. Fire came down and consumed some of them. And the third sin was, they had a desire to eat meat, and they complained about the man. So in order to separate between these three sins, the Torah put these two sentences here. They don't really belong here. They really belong 50 paragraphs earlier. Hence the upside down nun. The nun represents 50. To show that it's out of place, 50 paragraphs. And it was put here to separate between these three sins. Between the first and the second and third. That's one opinion. A second opinion is these two sentences make up a whole book of the Torah. And there are not five books to the Torah, there are seven. Bereshis, Shmos, Vayikra, from the beginning of Bamidbar till these two sentences is a whole book. These two sentences make up another book. That's already five. From the end of these sentences till the end of Bamidbar is six, and Devarim is seven. And that's hinted to in Mishlei, where it says, Chotzva Amudeha Shiva, the God hewed out the pillars of the world to be seven. Seven pillars of the world. Those are the seven books of the Torah. Not the five, seven. Bamidbar is split into three separate books. And these two sentences are considered a book by themselves. And the Marsha explains then why the upside down nuns? Because the Torah contains the 50 gates of wisdom. Now, I would think that it's only a big book like Bereshit Shmos that could possibly have the 50 gates of wisdom. But two sentences that only have 85 letters in them, how could they have 50 gates of wisdom? The answer is yes. The Torah is God's mind, and in two sentences there could be the 50 gates of wisdom. But they're upside down and backwards because they're very hard to grasp or impossible to grasp. that's just a basic overview of the meaning of these two sentences, and they're being here out of place, either to separate between these sins, or to what's it called, to signify the fact that they are a separate book to themselves. Okay, now I want to explain what that means. First of all, there are two different versions of what exactly the first sin was, because it's obvious that we have to separate between the first sin and the other two, and not necessarily between the other two. Two in a row is okay, but between the first and the second is a problem. To understand why. If you shouldn't have two in a row, then we have two in a row after this. And if it shouldn't be three in a row, then it would be enough to separate between two and three, not one and two. So something special about setting aside that first sin from the other two. Now, there are two versions as to what exactly the Jewish people, what their feeling was when they left Har Sinai. One is, as I told you, ketinek haboreach mibeis hasefer, like a child who runs away from school. And what does that connote? The child may not be disgusted with learning. He may love to learn, but not in school. It's not the learning that bothers him. It's the limitation of having to be in school, not being free to learn what he wants, when he wants. Right? It's the rigor of the discipline of the school, not necessarily the learning. They didn't run away from the Torah. They ran away from Beis HaSefer, from the school. And therefore, the idea was they ran away Mehar Hashem, from the mountain. Let's see 1 second what the idea is. There's another version that says, Ketine kaboreach me hasefer, like the child runs away from the book. He doesn't like to learn. He's tired of the, and wants to do something, wants to have fun, wants to play. Doesn't want to learn. So there are two things inherent over here. One is, even if they wanted to learn, they didn't want to learn in the context of the school. And also there was a context here of running away from the learning too. They wanted to not only be free to learn, but be free to have fun. It's like a child. Where did they see this? It just says, Vayisu Mehar Hashem. They traveled from the mountain of God. So where the rabbi saw it is from the fact that it didn't say where they were going, but where they were going from. The main thing over here is to get away from Har Hashem, not to go where we're going. So the Torah let us know, it hinted to us, that the Jewish people were not so much concerned about where they were going, but their main concern was where they're getting away from. That's the first thing. And the fact that it calls it Har Hashem. Until now, it's been calling it Har Sinai all the time. Why all of a sudden Har Hashem? Now that mountain has two names, Sinai and Chorev. And it's referred to as Har Elokim Choreva, the mountain of God, but there it's called Elokim. God is Elohim, Choreva, which is Chorev, and here it's called Har Hashem, Yudke Vavke. And it's also called many, many times Har Sinai. What's the difference between these names? I want to say like this. The Gemara says, why was it called Har Sinai? Shemisham yorda sina le'umos ha'olam. One of two meanings. Either there, from there came hatred of God against the nations of the world because they didn't accept the Torah and we did. So there's a certain distance. Hatred does not mean what we think, hate. It means a distance. God became distant from the nations of the world because they didn't accept the Torah. Or, from there came hatred or a distance from the nations of the world to us. We are distanced from the nations of the world because we accepted the Torah and they didn't, and we have a different lifestyle completely from them. So because of that, there's a distance, and when there's a distance, it could lead to hatred too. But hatred means a distance. I'll prove it to you. It doesn't mean the kind of feeling that you conjure up when you think of somebody hating somebody, because it says that Yaakov loved Rachel more than Leah. The next sentence says God saw that Leah was hated. She wasn't hated, he just loved Rachel more than Leah. He loved her. He didn't hate her. But when there's a distance where something could be close and it's distance, that's called hatred. Love means echad, connection. Hatred means where there's no connection, where there's a distant connection. And because whenever there's a closeness, automatically the feelings are positive. When there's a distance, the feelings can become negative. So from there came Sina to the nations of the world, both their hatred for us and God's hatred for them, meaning a distance from us and a distance from God. So the name Har Sinai represents the mountain vis-a-vis our relationship to the nations of the world. Whereas Har Hashem, or Horev, represents the mountain vis-a-vis ourselves and God, not ourselves and the nations of the world. And in two ways. It's Har Hashem. Hashem is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, meaning the one who brings about every substance, every existence in the world God brought about. And therefore, God is the source of all our existence through the Torah. Because without the Torah, there is no life, there's no world. And therefore, consequently, conversely, Har Elokim Choreva. That if we don't use the Torah properly and get from it eternal life, then we get destruction. Choreva is destruction. And it's Elokim, it's God as the judge, as the punisher. So if we approach the Torah positively, all life and existence comes from it. If we don't approach it positively, if we neglect it and abandon it, then it leads to destruction. And it leads to judgment and justice. So it's Har Elokim Choreva, or it's Har Hashem. Now, when the people ran away from Har Sinai, it wasn't so much to run away from the relationship between us and the nations of the world. We were very happy with our being singled out through the Torah of our greatness compared to the nations of the world. We didn't run away from Har Sinai. We ran away from Har Hashem. And that included two things. The Har and Hashem. The Har represents the Beis HaSefer, the school, not the book. We didn't want to be confined by God to a certain environment. What does it say? God picked up the mountain above them like a barrel. And he said, if you accept the Torah, fine. If not, there will be your grave. In other words, you better stay within the confines of this barrel. The Torah sets an environment. It sets a framework. You have to stay within that framework. As soon as you leave that framework, that's where you'll be buried. Not under the mountain. Sure, there. So the mountain represents the framework that God puts upon us. That's one thing they didn't like. They didn't like to be contained. They didn't like to be limited. They wanted not to be in the school. Torah, they didn't run away from the Torah. They ran away from the confinement of the mountain. That's one thing. In addition, there was an element also that they didn't want Hashem. Hashem is all of their existence comes from God. Right? And that comes from learning and toiling and Torah. They didn't want to learn the Torah. They want some fun. They wanted to have some existence not from the Torah, from other things that were more fun. So there were two aspects of their running away. One from the mountain and one from Hashem. One from the Beis HaSefer and one from the Sefer. I was thinking that these two names, before we go on, just in parentheses, these two names of the mountain, Sinai, which we explained, is the mountain vis-a-vis our relationship to the nations of the world, and Horev, Har Elokim, Har Hashem, is the mountain vis-a-vis our relationship with God. could explain two things. One is, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai. Moshe received the Torah from Sinai. Why do you say Moshe got the Torah from God? And why Dafka Sinai? Why not Horev or Haru Elokim? Why that name? I'm thinking the Mishnah wants to tell us of the two aspects of Torah. Okay? One, that it's called Horev, that God had to impress upon us that if we accept the Torah, then it is our source of life. It's Har Hashem. But if we don't accept the Torah, then it's Horev, then it's destruction, it's justice, it's Elohim. Moshe didn't need that incentive. Moshe didn't need to receive the Torah from Horev, because God was Ma'ayim, he threatened him with, you know, with, if you don't accept the Torah, then it's destruction, and if you do accept it, it's eternal life. Moshe understood that as on his own. So Moshe's incentive to get the Torah was only vis-a-vis how it changes us from the rest of the world. Our own relationship, Moshe knew he didn't need the mountain to impress him. What impressed him was Sinai, was the fact that now the Jewish people are special and they have a special relationship with God, which the other nations don't have, and because of that, we are separated from the nations of the world. That's what impressed Moshe Rabbeinu. The first thing he didn't need to be impressed with, it was automatic. That could be one understanding. Another thing, it says that we have a mitzvah not to forget the revelation at Sinai, but it doesn't use the word Sinai. It says, Shomer lecha u'shmor nafshecha ma'ol, be very careful and guard your soul. What's it called? Pen tishkach es advarim ashiro einecha, lest you forget the things that your eyes saw. Ufen yosuru milvavcha kol yimei chayecha, and you shouldn't take it out of your heart your entire life. Yom ashiro amadato lefnei Hashem b'chorev, the day you stood before God b'chorev. Here it doesn't call it Sinai, it calls it b'chorev. And there is the mitzvah to remember Har Sinai, to remember our relationship with God, to remember that if we accepted the Torah, we have life, and if not, there's destruction. We have to remember that constantly. We have to remember what Matan Torah represented, and represented in the context of Horev, of destruction, or eternal life. And that's why it says that by remembering that, whoever forgets something that they learn in Torah is guilty of this sentence. Because it goes for both things. It's how you have to learn. The whole purpose of learning is to have a continuum from Har Sinai. Whenever a person learns, he should feel like he's standing at Har Sinai and God is giving him the Torah. And God is telling him that if you don't accept this, there's destruction, and if you do, there's eternal life. And therefore, if a person would learn like that, he'd never forget anything. Because what makes an impression on you, you don't forget. If you were in Har Sinai, you'd never forget it. But if you learn something and you don't learn it in that context, it's not with the same fear and trepidation and seriousness as if you're standing there by the mountain, then you could forget it. So anybody who forgets his learning transgresses the sentence, because he obviously didn't learn it in a way that he's as if he's standing by Har Sinai. Now, so therefore, we have two things here. Vayisu mehar, they ran away from the mountain, meaning the framework. They didn't want to be confined to a framework that God dictated. They would learn, but we'll learn what we want, when we want, or whatever. It's not the learning we're concerned about, it's the framework and the discipline, the har. And then, there's also Hashem. They also ran away from Hashem, meaning they didn't want that their entire life and existence should have to come only from Torah. They wanted other things. They wanted some diversion, what's a good word for it?
Amusement,
yeah. They wanted to have something that would give them live it up without the Torah having to be living it up. Now, It's interesting that one could relate these two feelings to the sins that came after this. How so? What were the two sins? One is they desired meat. They weren't happy with the man. Now why not? The man could taste anything you wanted it to be. What could they possibly have against the man? Now you could taste anything. Why dafka meat? One of the ideas is because the man was given by God and it wasn't chosen by them. Even though they could choose the taste of the man, they couldn't choose what food they ate. They had to eat man. That was dictated by God. This is the food that comes from Hashemayim. This is what you eat. You have a lot of latitude within that, but you can't have other food. That's the food. Yeah?
Is it texture taste or just the taste?
Big question. It's a good question. There's a big question whether it actually became that kind of thing or just had the taste. And therefore, there's a question, could they think of something that was prohibited? Could they want it to taste like a ham sandwich? If it's only the taste, then you could make, let's say, and they have, then based on that, there's another question. Today they have all of these protein things that are kosher and it tastes like bacon and ham or whatever. Is that proper or not? And there's a Gemara that says that the brain of a certain fish tastes like pig. And God, the Dafka, did it like that so we know what pig tastes like. So obviously it's okay to do. So the question is, if the man was just a taste, then it would be no problem to have intention to eat, to make it taste like something that's prohibited. But if it actually became like the chemical structure of that thing, then maybe it's a different problem. Maybe it's, if they make artificial ham that had the same chemical structure of ham, maybe it's a problem, maybe not. Yeah.
Then why could they think that tasted like, for those bad nursing mothers, it was just the taste?
Because, again, that was physically harmful. I hear it's a proof from there that if it was only the taste, it's not the taste of cucumbers that have make a problem. It's the chemical makeup of it. Yeah, such interesting, could be a good proof that it was more than the taste. Very nice. I never thought of that. Yeah?
Maybe.
Could be also that psychosomatically, when a person tastes cucumbers, it has an adverse effect on the woman who is nursing. Could be also. Yeah?
Maybe the texture of what would you think? The man has always
okay, and they were okay, fine. But that's the point. The point is, I want to eat what I want to eat, not just to have the taste that I want to have. I want to choose the food. So that's what bothered them, because the man lechora otherwise was everything. But no, I want what I want. So the sin of running away from the framework, the discipline, led to their complaining about the man and wanting meat. The other thing, the complaining about how difficult it was to travel, that was a result of running away from the book. We don't want to have to sit here by books. We want to enjoy ourselves. We want to have a little fun. We don't want all the bother and effort that Torah entails. Now, so therefore it's possible that the sins that came afterwards were a reflection of their low madrega. Okay, let me explain this so we can make it more clear. Some sins that people do are just quirks. They are not reflections of their level or their personality. Right? Of their, let's more than personality, their level. Okay? They're quirks. It's out of character. It's not necessarily because there's something wrong with the person in essence. It's just they did something. They did an action and it's out of character. Okay? It says a Talmud Chacham's like that. When a Talmud Chacham sins, it's not a sign that there's something intrinsically wrong because he for sure does tshuva right away. It's something out of character, a quirk, and then maybe he does tshuva. But if you're not a Talmud Chacham and you sin, it could be that it's not just an isolated action. It's a reflection of where you're holding, and therefore it's not easy to do tshuva so fast. You can't just do tshuva on the action. You have to do tshuva and change your whole essence, because your essence brought you to that sin. Now, obviously, a sin that's done because you've fallen to a certain level, and that level now causes you to do these sins, right? That's much more serious. It's something that shows much more a negative about the person than an isolated action, which just happened to be a quirk. Therefore, Torah wants us to know that it's not the case. The fact that they ran away from Har Sinai, and they were to a certain degree put off by God's framework and discipline, and by the need to put effort into Torah, was not that there was a small tinge of that in leaving Har Sinai, but it wasn't enough to make them fall from their level, and that became their essence. In other words, they didn't have a nefilah. They didn't have a falling from a level which changed their entire demeanor, which changed their entire level, and therefore these sins were a result of that fallen level. No. They taka had these thoughts, but it wasn't as serious to make a change in their essence, and therefore the sins that came later were not to be attributed to what came before, but rather as quirks. They sinned. People can sin. But they were sins not as a result of a change in their essence, but just as a quirk. In order to show that, the Torah put two sentences between their running away from Har Sinai and these two sins to show that they don't flow one from the other. There was a separation. There was a whole book between these two things. Whole book. And what was the book? The book reflected the fact that the Jewish people's essence was still different. How so? When they traveled, what did Moshe say? He said a tefillah. He prayed to God. Vayehi bin soa ha'aram. They had to break camp and go. Okay? That's what's it called? The kum v'yaseh. That's doing, traveling, right? Moshe prayed that God should help them and vanquish their enemies. Now they're going and they're doing and they're traveling. They're going to have a lot of nisyonos, a lot of things that they could come in contact with which are negative. God protect us from them. He didn't pray, though, that the Jewish people should follow him and not take the easy way out and say, we're too tired, we're not going anywhere. It wasn't necessary. The tefillah was only necessary to ask God to help them, not to, what's it called, to inspire the Jewish people. They were inspired. And when they came to rest, God said, this is where you're going to stop. This is the motel. Not the next one, not the one you want, the one I want. Right? And God also, Moshe had to pray only to God, not that the Jewish people should comply. What do you see from that? That in essence, there were people who were ready to put in effort and to comply to God's discipline. They ran away from Har Sinai. They had a tinge of wanting to run away from that. It was a sin, but it didn't change their essence. And therefore, the next two sins that happened, that one could think, came from this change of essence, didn't. It was only quirks. And there's a separation of a whole book between those two sins and their running away from Har Sinai. It didn't affect them to change their essence. It only affected them. It was a thought, a passing thought. They were, what's it called? It was mentioned, but don't get carried away. It wasn't something that where they had an afila. That's why they upside down nuns. The nun, the Gemara says in Brachas, represents the word nefila, falling. When you turn the nun upside down and backwards, it means that there's no falling. When you turn the falling upside down, it means that it's not a falling. So it comes to show that the nun, the nefila, wasn't there. It was upside down and backwards. It's the antithesis of falling. They didn't fall. They sinned, they didn't fall. There's a difference between a sin that comes from a fall or a sin that comes because of a quirk. Okay. Yes.
But I thought you said earlier that the reason they wanted me followed from the fact that they wanted
No, it's the opposite. The reason they wanted meat is because they wanted to choose what they'd eat, not God dictate to them. In other words, the mon could taste like anything I wanted it to taste, but I could only eat mon.
Right.
I don't, I'm not interested. I want to eat what I want to eat.
Like
I'd be willing to give up on the taste as long as it's my choice. There are people like that, right? I'd like to have less, but I want it to be my choice. I don't want somebody else to tell me what to do, right? That's one Yetzer Hara. There's another Yetzer Hara. But I don't really care who tells me, well, I don't want to have, I just want to have fun. I don't want to put in a lot of effort, right? I just want to take it easy, have a little amusement. I don't need this serious thing that life and all existence comes from only putting yourself in Torah and mitzvahs. That's too serious. I'd like something, you know, lighter or whatever. Just, you know, take a little time off, right? Right, have a little bit easy time, you know, time off or whatever. That's also a Yetzer Hara. Right, so one, right, thus, the running away had two aspects, like we said. One from the book, one from the school. Running away from the school could be related to the complaint about the monk. Running away from the book could be related to their complaint that it was too hard to travel. The Torah wants to tell us, don't make that mistake. Those two sins didn't come because their level fell. Those two sins were only quirks. You could say that. Torah comes along and tells me don't. It's not true.
They followed, or they couldn't follow?
They followed, but they didn't emanate from that. In other words, the fact that these sins happened right after this, one could make the mistake to think that Jewish people fell from their level, and because of that, they sinned with these two sins. No. They were unrelated. They didn't fall from their level because they ran away from Har Sinai. It was a passing thought, but it didn't change their essence. Their essence still was Nasa V'Nishma. Right? We accept Nasa V'Nishma is the same thing. I didn't even think of that. Now I'm adding it. Nasa means we'll do whatever God says, whether we understand it or not. That's accepting the discipline, the framework. And Nishma, and we'll continue learning. We're not going out for fun. We want to learn. We want to observe mitzvahs. So the Nasa, the Nishma remained. Okay? It didn't obliterate the Nasa V'Nishma. It was a sin. And therefore, don't connect this running away with the sins that came afterwards. You could. You could think that you could. But don't make that mistake. That's what the Torah is telling us.